Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, I filled up my yellow bins, two of them. We paid for an extra one because we just seem to recycle a lot of stuff. So that's a good thing. I filled up my two yellow bins on the weekend and I found myself wondering whether I should bother. And I wonder whether you're the same. 1-300-40-2020 if you'd like to join us to talk about the issue of recycling. It's a hot topic for all kinds of reasons at the moment. For instance, the shifting of waste across state borders because, unbelievably, there's a loophole in regulations that makes that worth the cost. From the beginning of the year, China stopped accepting certain types of recycling that we shipped there for reprocessing. And again, it seems completely mad that instead of dealing the rubbish here, we move it around nationally and internationally. Ipswich Council was set to abandon recycling altogether. Now they've got a temporary solution, but no permanent answer. And I can remember as a younger journalist, probably, truth be known, more than 30 years ago, going and filming mountains of newspaper waste that had no home, that had no place, for which there was no reuse. But people were, you know, happily and, you'd have to say, with great good faith, recycling their newspapers. It seems like almost nothing has happened during that course of, during the period of time. I hope I'm wrong. On Friday, Australia's state and federal ministers met, literally to talk rubbish and to talk about what they're going to do about it. After the meeting, they issued an agreed statement which addresses some of the issues around packaging and waste, but is that a SOP or will it bring real change? Well, Jeff Angel is the director of the Boomerang Alliance. We spoke with them after their conference on marine plastic waste last year. Jeff Angel, welcome to Open House.
Good evening.
Jeff, what do you make of what the ministers said on Friday? Firstly, some pretty ambitious targets.
Well, I think it's the acknowledgement that we have a serious problem that deserves their attention. And the Australian Council of Recycling actually issued quite a strong poll from a reputable firm showing that almost 90% of the community want to keep recycling. They want our waste, recyclable waste, used here, and they support government regulation. So, you know, the political setting is there. The ministers who have these regular meeting of environment ministers, they've called, usually put out vacuous communiques. This one was somewhat different, but a lot more work to do. There wasn't really much meat on the announcement.
Did you? Were you surprised at just how far the Liberal Environment Minister was prepared to go?
Oh, I don't really think it was him. I think it was the various state governments who have directly borne the brunt of the problem, and they're close to the local governments. I understand the federal government was asked to put in some funding and refused. So I'm not sure the federal government is going to be that activist on this issue, and they could need pushing.
Sure. It makes some sense, though, doesn't it, to have a national approach?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And some of the solutions, such as requiring recycled content in products, which therefore creates a market for the stuff we're putting in curbside as recycling, have to be national. You know, you can't have different product content requirements in each state. We have a national waste policy, and to date, the federal government's really done nothing with that. We get a sort of regular data report estimating how much we're recycling and how much waste is going to landfill, etc. But, there is not much action from the feds. It's mainly be state governments.
Now, one of the perennial subjects in this country has been burning our waste. They do it overseas, incinerating our waste. And indeed, insofar as toxic gases go, as I understand it, you can actually you can use the methane that comes off to even run the process itself and burn it at such a high temperature that the toxic waste is less of an issue. But you're strongly against it. You always have been. Why, Jeff?
Three reasons. there's still the risk of cowboy waste-to-energy proponents.
Yes, fair enough.
And, you know, unfortunately, the waste industry does have a bit of a sloppy reputation. The second reason is that a lot of these proposals want to use mixed waste. Now, you don't have any idea what's in the mixed waste, and therefore you cannot predict the emissions profile. And there isn't any evidence, and I will refer you to the recent inquiries into the big proposal at Eastern Creek in Sydney and another proposal in Canberra, and both the EPA and the health authorities have said the so-called emission controls are not sufficient to secure the health and safety of the local community. So if I want to use mixed waste, highly unpredictable emissions profile. And thirdly, and most importantly, or as important, these plants cost a lot to build, and the people who are investing in these plants demand that they have a secure long-term resource, up to 20 years. And in that resource, of course, there is material that we should be recycling, reusing, or reprocessing. And when you recycle and reuse and reprocess, you're using the same material over and over again. But if it goes into a waste and energy plant, that's it. One-off energy contribution. And I might say, in all these plants, you have toxic residues that are left, and you still have to dispose of those. So, yes, we don't like waste to energy. We don't want big waste to energy plants getting the the go-ahead well before we get into the proper, genuine recycling that lets us continually use the same material again and again.
Jeff Angel is with us from the Boomerang Alliance. Now, Jeff, you're a long-term campaigner for environment, a long-term campaigner of slowly but surely turning community opinion around on these events. And I know that a recent poll said that 88% of us want more recycling or support recycling. And we fill up our yellow bins somewhat religiously every 2 weeks or every, you know, in time for the collection. You've got to maintain public confidence in that. But are we at the stage yet where people are prepared to give up things as well? We're seeing plastic bags, cotton tips is something that we're being asked to give up because of their effect. Drinking straws, for instance, even plasticized cups. 7-Eleven now wants me to, you know, return my cup to them so that it can be recycled. When do we reach the limit of the public's willingness to give up stuff?
Well, I think some of those particular products you're describing are contributing to plastic pollution of the oceans, and it is unbelievably serious. Only last week, the scientists were in the Arctic, and they reported that for every litre of sea ice, they found 12,000 pieces of microplastic.
Wow.
In the Arctic. And there are continually reports of not just the big bits of plastic that are floating in the ocean, and that's only about 1.5% of the plastic in the ocean. It's when it breaks down into smaller and smaller pieces, and that's right through the water column, right down to the bottom of the ocean. So we have a global plastic pollution alarm, and it is infiltrating every corner of the oceans. And, of course, because this marine life can't tell the difference between a piece of plastic, and I might say these pieces of plastic last for hundreds and hundreds of years, it goes up to the food chain and ends up on our dinner plates. So we have a plastic-polluted world. And because plastic lasts for so long, every year we put in more and more plastic into the environment, it is accumulating that pollution load.
All right, well, there's been one piece of good news, hasn't there? There is a willingness to do away with microbeads. Now, these are the little things that come in defoliants and, or is it exfoliants, you know, gritty stuff that you rub on your skin.
Yes, it's supposed to give you the impression that you're cleaning your skin. They did report at the minister's meeting that 94% of those products now no longer have those microbeads in them, and that's been a worldwide push. We're a bit concerned that it's a voluntary industry program, so it has a loophole, and who can say in 3 or 4 years' time those plastic microbeads won't creep back into the market. So we're asking And we asked the ministers on Friday to actually pass a Commonwealth law so that there is no backtracking on it. But yes, that saw a fairly strong movement, and I think business, governments, and certainly in the community are starting to react to that plastic pollution alarm. Now, that is somewhat different to the problem we're having with our curbside recycling. That's always had contamination issues. I'm sure you're very good, Steve, but there are a lot of contamination problems in the yellow bin.
Well, apparently I'm not supposed to put my pizza boxes in there, Jeff.
Yeah,
I'm just confessing right. that to you, because I've known you a long time. I'll trust you with that.
Good. We'll come along and inspect a yellow bin next week. Because of that contamination, and this was being repeated across the world, and China had been taking this so-called recycling for some years, and when China said no, you had this giant revenue hole in the recycling industry. And the revenue that you were getting from China buying this contaminated waste supported the curbside recycling system. You know, they collected the waste and sold what they could domestically or internationally, and that revenue kept the system going. So there was an immediate crisis that the people who were collecting your waste at curbside were finding themselves uneconomic, and that's why some state governments have put in some short-term funding to keep them going, but it's not a real solution, long-term solution.
Well, I just want to ask you finally a philosophical question. You know, the catchphrase was always think globally, act locally. And yet these days we tend to, we're turning in on ourselves. There's a lot of localism at the moment in the way people are thinking, and it's probably a reaction to big global events that people feel, you know, cut them off in a way. You look at what Donald Trump's doing, for instance, turning America in on itself. Is the catch, what's the way now to motivate people to do what we would believe, certainly I would believe as a Christian, is our responsibility to repair the planet? What's the best philosophy that you know about so far at the moment?
Well, I mean, local responsibility or personal responsibility is obviously important, and I think we saw that in that poll where people enthusiastically endorse recycling, but you can't really blame them for not knowing the full details of what to recycle. I mean, it wasn't their decision to come out with some new piece of packaging that's done in the corporation, so they need to have pressure on them. And even though, you know, you're acting out a good personal environmental ethic, the other thing you've got to do is push the politicians so that the whole thing becomes comprehensive and nationwide. And there's nothing inconsistent with personally behaving in an environmentally responsible manner and then giving that a political expression to all the major parties and local councils.
Yeah, good. Well, Jeff, nice to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us on Open House.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Jeff Angel is from the Boomerang Alliance and a long-time campaigner for the environments of the world. And you've got to say the environmental movement has had massive effect for good over the years. That's what I believe. You may want to tell me about your recycling confessions on 1-300-40-2020. Now, I'm laughing because actually the truth is draw close. 1 week, we came home and there was a note in the letterbox. It was from our local council. And they'd been around inspecting people's rubbish. Can you imagine that? And, yeah, I had got a D for recycling because I was putting household rubbish like pizza boxes in the recycling. I mean, they were made of cardboard, for goodness sake. Anyway, apparently, there you go. There's my confession for the night, and I feel so much better. 1-300-40-2020 is our number. And what do you think about our recycling as a nation? What should we be doing? What should our governments do?
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.